Namaste, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place to discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. I am super excited to share with you today's episode because I have been wanting to chat more with this queen, Manifestation Babe, for a very long time, and we finally got to do it on this podcast. So if you have not heard of Manifestation Babe yet, she is known especially on Instagram for really talking about manifestation in a very authentic and honest way. She shares more about her story growing up as a Russian immigrant who left Russia and struggled financially to then discovering law of attraction and using it to change her life. And in this episode, we really go deep into her story. And I ask a lot of questions I know, you know, community members of mine have had about manifestation, and really get to go down to the nitty gritty, because so many people, you know, they assume manifestation is just think positive thoughts or, you know, say some affirmations that everything in your life is just going to change from doing that. And it's really so much more. It's shifting your subconscious beliefs, looking at the way that your body is holding on to energy, looking at your ancestral lineage and the stories that you're holding on to, and so much more. And it's also taking action on that thing. You know, we have to also take into account that we need to take action. It's the law of attraction, has the word action in it. So we really get to speak about all of that and how this work truly can be very magical at the same time. So for me, manifestation is a word that can really be misused, and it's a word that I feel like we sometimes throw around to negate the responsibility that we have to create our own realities. And what I love about this conversation is it's really about creating your own reality. And it's about how much your life can shift through, first of all, opening up the scope of your mind to things that you may not have been aware of before and following through that. You know, I think sometimes we have that awareness that something needs to shift. I spoke about this in my episode on the five stages of Dharma discovery, but that first stage is that self-awareness. Something needs to shift. I see the trajectory my life is going on. But so many people, they see it and they still don't make a shift. They still remain exactly where they are, and they expect, I don't know, life to just change things for them instead of them taking action. And I feel like right now in times like this where there still does feel so much unknown, and it still can feel like we're like waiting for something to happen, but we are only going to change our realities if we make it a priority. You know, show me how you spend your time and your resources and your energy, and I'll tell you what you value. So how are we doing this? Are we saying we want to be abundant, but our actions and our energy and our resources and our commitments are not going towards that? Do we say we want to live our dharmas, but we're not taking any action on it? So it's really important for us to realize how much our lives can change, but it's our responsibility to do so. And that's not a bad thing. I think like the word responsibility can feel really heavy, but responsibility also means opportunity. It's your opportunity to shift. It's your opportunity to create a higher reality and a higher vision. So in this episode, I loved hearing Catherine's story, and she is someone that really embodies that energy and has, you know, really, we share so many similarities of both living with our grandmas and coming from these immigrant backgrounds. And I feel like she is an expander for so many people because she's really honest about the journey along the way, and she deep dives more into it in this episode. So without further ado, let's welcome Catherine to the Highest Self Podcast. And before we get started, I have an announcement for you. If you are listening to this podcast, you are someone that knows you were born on this planet for a reason, that you have gifts that you are meant to share, and that your curiosities are guiding you towards your dharma, your soul's purpose. So what if you had a book that was a guide that showed you step by step how to unpeel these layers, these conditioning, these limiting beliefs that may be holding you back? how to have courage to finally take action on your Dharma, and frameworks, including a process for you to actually decide what it is that you should focus your energy on right now. Well, this doesn't have to be some far off fantasy, because I've written this book for you, boo. And it is called Discover Your Dharma. It is out now. Woo, woo. So excited. I literally wrote this book for me, where I was in my life when I was in this point where I wasn't sure if I really had a purpose or not. I wasn't sure if it was some like fairy tale they tell you as a kid, like follow your dreams. Then you get older, they're like, oh no, that was like Santa. You weren't actually supposed to do that. And how to actually make a living doing it, especially if you're someone who's multi-passionate, you don't know what it is to focus on. So I bust through so many different obstacles that I've overcome, from confusion, from not knowing where to start, from feeling like you're not good enough, smart enough, etc., and how to move through them in a way that really gets to the bottom of these fears and allows you to see that your obstacles were your soul's curriculum to help you embody your Dharma. So every single person I know that has read this book, whether they are living their Dharma already or not, has walked away with a deeper sense of what their Dharma is. And I'm so excited to see the effects it has in your life. So I've created epic bonuses for you to go alongside this book. I have my Discover Your Dharma meditation practice, my Dharma tapping practice, which is EFT, and my Dharma embodiment practice, where you'll actually be dancing your Dharma with me. And I also have a virtual book launch happening on February 4th, where I'll be answering your questions on Dharma live. And if you're listening to this after February 4th, you will get that replay. So to get all of those bonuses, head over to iamsaharrose.com/dharma. That link is in the show notes. You'll be able to order the book, submit your receipt, and get those bonuses in your email right away. Again, that is iamsaharrose.com/dharma. That link is in the show notes, and I'm so excited to share this book with you. Yay! Well, welcome, Catherine, to the Highest Self Podcast. It's so great to have you here.
Oh my God, Sahara, I'm so excited to be here. As I was saying on my podcast episode where you were on, we were supposed to do this like 2 years ago. And every single year, like something would keep coming up. So I'm so freaking stoked that the day is finally here.
Yes. And the first question I'd love to ask you is, what makes you your highest self?
That is such a great question. I would say the thing that's coming through me right now is being at service to other people, like really just helping other people in any form or shape that I can possibly think of, just knowing that, you know, this life is so much bigger than just me. And I'm really here to raise the vibration of the planet. And any way that I can do that and make the world a better place, that's me being at my highest self.
I love that so much. And for those of you who don't follow her at Manifestation Babe, you know, a lot of people may look at the life you're experiencing now and they're like, wait, like, did she just grow up with tons of money? Like, how is that happening? You're like traveling to Fiji and on first class and all these flights and like really like showing up in this grand way and bringing your family along with you, and then diving deeper and learning more about your story to get here. So can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because I just recently took my mom to the Maldives, and I'll get into this, but like long story short, my mom always wanted me to become a doctor. So my favorite thing in the world right now is when I take her traveling, I'm always like, hey, mom, if I became a doctor, I could not do this on that salary. Or like, hey, mom, did you know that right now, this time, right now, I would just be graduating medical school? And she'd be like, shut up, Catherine. So I love doing that. I love just to make fun of my mom sometimes. But it's funny because I would post snippets of my trip. And the number one comment that I got traveling this past November is, oh, you have a sugar daddy. Or, oh, you're a trust fund baby. Or, oh, you won the lottery. And just like these bizarre comments. And it's just so fascinating where people's minds are at and how people just don't believe that, you know, in particular, like women especially can be successful without the help of a man, or that children can grow up to be successful without the help of their parents. And that for some reason, we're forgetting that self-made success still exists. So my story really starts with, I don't know, do you want the long version or the short version, Sahara?
Go into whatever's feeling flowy.
Okay. Awesome. I love that. So I'm an immigrant and I came here when I was 1 year old. My family immigrated from Ukraine to the United States. Long story short, basically my family was in the mafia and then there was a competing mafia somewhere around there. And we were being threatened every single night when I was a baby that, you know, I would get killed. My mom would get killed if we don't do something. I don't really know too many details, but it was a terrifying time to be alive right when the Soviet Union fell, because there was all of a sudden no laws, no rules, no regulations. Like, the police isn't helping anyone. It's the mob is running the whole country. So very interesting times. And when we immigrated, finally, my family just had $900, you know, with them, a couple of suitcases, not very many belongings. And we started off our life here in the United States in poverty. And actually, my family did have money, quite a bit of money in Ukraine, but zero money. None of that translated here in the US. So my family basically had to start over. My dad, you know, got hired as a dishwasher and worked two dishwasher jobs. So somewhere between 14 to 16 hours a day for whatever the minimum wage was back then. My mom, she started work right away, but her mission, she just knew, like, that's how she saw the American dream, is you have to get very educated in order for you to make a lot of money in the United States. And so my mom immediately applied for nursing school, which is so impressive because she didn't speak a word of English. My mom went straight up to campus of a community college here in LA, not understanding a word of English and asking where she can register for classes. And her first class was like, what was it? Microbiology. And of course, she got F's like her first semester because she didn't speak English. And so my mom is such a badass. And, you know, my mom's dream was for her to become a doctor. That's always been her dream. That's always what she wanted to do. But she could only get her education as far as nursing school because she also had a child. And, you know, we were immigrants. My mom had student loans, but she was also on welfare to support us. And my dad had this dishwasher job. And it was just like and my dad also was an abusive husband to my mom. He was never really abusive to me, but I witnessed a ton of just physical, emotional, mental, sexual abuse. It was horrendous. And my mom got through all of that. And I guess like part of me, you know, not only is it just hearing my mom constantly tell me my whole life, like, Catherine, when you grow up, you're going to be a doctor. Or like, I would hear conversations from, you know, my mom having conversations with her friends and be like, what is Catherine going to be when she grows up? And she'd always go, doctor, 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 doctor. And of course, I always wanted to impress my mom. I always wanted my mom's love and approval. And seeing all of the crap that she went through in my childhood, like, I could never let her down. And so it was around college when I finally got to university. I have a bachelor's of science in cellular molecular developmental biology. I know, so fancy. And it was like in the middle of getting that degree where all of a sudden I experienced this immense, immense resistance. Like, resistance that just felt like dread every single day, dread, 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 dread. And I couldn't figure out like what it was until I, by the grace of the universe, discovered an Instagram post made by one of my mentors back then, now one of my really good friends. She was recruiting people for her team for an MLM called Beachbody. And at the time, I really loved fitness and she was a doctor. She was an emergency medicine doctor. And I was like, oh, cool. We're on the same path. She's fit. She's helping people get fit. She's making a ton of money. This is awesome. Like, maybe. And of course, I was still in this box of medical school. So even though that was my entry point to entrepreneurship and like other possibilities for myself, I still saw this in the box of, oh, I'm going to grow this business so that I don't have to take out loans for medical school, so that I have an easier time in medical school. So I was really seeing everything through that lens. And just to backtrack a little bit, you know, my brand is Manifestation Babe. How did I come across, you know, manifesting? It was actually when I was 16 years old, I came across a book called The Secret. I found it in book form first. I know a lot of people come across it as a movie, and the movie's now on Netflix and whatever. I watched it 1,000 times by now. But I had a friend who gave it to me and said, hey, Catherine, and again, we were 16, 16 years old. She was like, this is why my grandpa has everything that he wants in life. And he doesn't work for money. Money works for him. And I was like, okay, I'm sold. You know, I didn't even have a job back then, but I'm like, yeah, I don't want to work for money. I want money to work for me. Let me read that book. And I remember taking it home. That was my first introduction to the law of attraction. And something happened inside of me, Sahara, where I didn't doubt a single word in that book. Like I read it as if I've read that book before, as if I knew this information, as if I was remembering this information, as if it made total and complete sense. And I actually started practicing it immediately. Like I immediately started manifesting things like, you know, what a 16-year-old cares about, like good grades and whatever. And on my podcast episode, you mentioned how I think in one of the Dharma paths, like the pathway to discovering your Dharma, how sometimes you feel like you're two people. It's like there's this side of you and there's this other side of you. So there was this side of me that was like, I'm going to become a doctor and here are my textbooks and chemistry, organic chemistry, physics, biology, whatever. And then there's this other side of me that was like, wow, the universe and manifestation and law of attraction. And I discovered Abraham Hicks and I would have all these books of like this one side that I kept a total secret because I didn't want to come across as a weirdo. And then I had this other side that is like the part of me that society would approve of, the part of me that my parents would approve of, the part of me that I thought was the path to my success. And so in college, when I finally started this business in my junior year, my mentor would always stress to me, like, hey, Catherine, personal development is the key to success. If you want to make a lot of money, which of course I've always been money driven because of my background of coming from poverty, like I want to use money to change the world. And so of course I'm driven to make lots of it. I was like, fuck yeah, I want to make a ton of money. Awesome. So I'm going to do a lot of personal development. So I found myself diving back into this world that I discovered at 16 around manifesting, law of attraction, leadership books, this book, that book, whatever. That's when I first discovered podcasts. And I had a 3-hour long commute from my home, which I lived with my parents, to my university. It was an hour and a half that way and an hour and a half return. So I would listen to every podcast, every audiobook, every single school break. I would just listen and listen and listen. Like I need to program my mind. Like everyone keeps talking about this mindset thing and the mind and how powerful it is. Like that's what I need to do. And so all of a sudden, my obsession, what drove me, what excited me shifted from my stupid textbooks and the development of a frog and whatever the hell else I was learning in college at the time to being like, wow, I can help people on the internet. I'm making money online. I actually ended up quitting my movie theater job in college because I was making more money in my business than that job. And all of a sudden, I just started seeing possibilities. And the resistance that I was talking about, this resistance where I felt like straight up going to my mom and being like, mom, I want to quit. Like, I don't want to, I'm done. Like, I want to drop out of college. Or weird things would happen. Like I took the bus from the city called Tacoma to Seattle to my university. And I lived in Gig Harbor, Washington. So we drive to Tacoma, take the bus from Tacoma to Seattle. And it was about like, I would say a 30-mile bus ride. And all of a sudden, like the bus would stop coming or it would be late or on test days, there'd be a lot of traffic. Or something would happen where like no matter what, I could not for the life of me all of a sudden get the grades that I was supposed to get. I really stopped caring about school. Like it was very, very hard. It felt like walking, you know, uphill constantly, an uphill battle just to take my tests and do my finals and whatever. But I did graduate. It was hard. It was not fun, but I did graduate. And during that summer, it was really like the summer of self-discovery because I knew that when fall would happen, I decided to take a year off between college and medical school because I didn't want to do the applications in college. I wanted to do the applications, like just have the time and freedom to focus on my med school applications without, you know, taking classes at the same time. So that summer was like one of the best summers of my life because I was able to focus on my business full time. And I was like, this is so amazing. This is so exciting. But I always knew that I would still have to go to medical school. And so my mentor at the time told me about this dude named Tony Robbins and how she just went to one of his events and this event like changed her life and he's amazing. He's so up my alley. And I was like known as the personal development queen so that I would appreciate him and all this stuff. And she's like, Catherine, I don't care what you do. You have to go there. And I was at this point in my life, one of those people was like, tell me what to do and I'll do it. by this time I was already like, okay, I don't want to go to medical school. So tell me what I need to do to be successful. And so I somehow convinced my mom while she's on vacation in France to let me go to LA to stay with my grandma on her couch and attend this event. And it was at this event where I heard my higher self for the very first time step in and take over. And a question that kept popping up at this event was, Catherine, who are you living for? Catherine, who are you living for? And at first, you know, it's always a whisper. It's always like, hey, Catherine, who are you living for? And I'm just like, that's an interesting question. So I wrote it down in my notebook, you know, in the midst of this event. And that was like night one. And day two, it got louder. And then it got louder. And then it got louder. And then it got louder and louder and louder until I was like, Catherine, who the fuck are you living for? And all of a sudden, I realized, oh my God, I am living for everyone but myself. I am living for my parents because I don't want to go to medical school. That's their dream. This is my mom's dream. And I had a stepdad at this time. So even though my dad's no longer in the picture, you know, I also grew up with my stepdad. And of course, he would push whatever my mom would push. So that's why I say parents, but it was really my mom. And then I was in a relationship at that time where I realized that I'm in that relationship out of comfort. It's my comfort zone. And then I was like, hold on a second. I've been wanting to move back to LA because that's where I grew up for so long. Like ever since I moved up to Washington State, I was already planning my move back to LA. And I miss it so much and I miss the sunshine. But what's keeping me up there? Oh, right. This relationship, right? I can go to college anywhere. I can do whatever. I can, like, the opportunities are limitless, but I'm keeping myself because I'm so afraid of what they're going to think. And I'm so afraid of disappointing them. But this time, like, this is the time in my life. I was 23 at the time. I was like, I need to start living for myself because I'm the only one who's going to live with those consequences. Like, at some point, my parents are not going to be on this planet anymore. And at some point, you know, I'm going to be 90 years old, sitting on a rocking chair, looking back at my life and being like, you know, am I proud of the life that I lived? And I'm on the course right now where I'm not going to be proud of the life that I lived. And so that weekend, I literally went back home to Washington. And I told my parents I'm not going to medical school. And of course, like you shared on my podcast, of course, I got called like a loser. You're never going to amount to anything. When they found out that I invested 15 grand into Tony's other events, when I literally had nowhere near close that amount of money, like I took out a loan from the Tony Robbins team to do that and like put whatever deposit I could on this credit card that I for sure maxed out. My mom was like, are you kidding me? Like, who do you think you are to do this? How come I don't have a coach? How come I can't do this? How come I've never invested this amount of money in myself? Like, you can't do that. And, you know, you're never going to amount to anything more than being a janitor if you go on this path and if you don't go to medical school. So of course, that was really, really tough. And like the time between I actually moved from, you know, home to Los Angeles was, I would say like 4 months. And during that time, it was like, just like you, I would lock myself in my bedroom and cry and be so upset and so depressed and like in despair of like, what am I going to do? Nobody loves me, blah, 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 blah. And my boyfriend at the time, he was working and I was running my business, but he was making a lot more money than I was. And he was actually living at home with us. So when I broke up with him, he had to move out. And I was so afraid of my parents being like, what the fuck? Like he moved out. You're telling us you're not going to medical school. Like, oh my God. It was just a disaster. And like the emotions that came through for the next few months. And then I told my parents I'm moving to Los Angeles, which would happen like at some point, this was 2015, at some point in 2016. And so during that time, you know, I will never forget, like I said, that was the first time I ever heard my higher self ask me a question. Like I'm sure, you know, our higher self always speaks to us, but that's the first time I ever listened. And I felt like the craziest person in all the land. And I will never forget, before I flew home to LA to share, you know, all of these decisions that I've already made in my mind, I was in my grandma's kitchen and I was like, I had no real connection to the divine at that point, like conscious connection. Like I always knew that there was a higher power and my ex-boyfriend was a Christian and like I grew up kind of Christian. And so I, you know, somewhat believed there was a God, but I also had bouts on my path where I was also like an atheist and kind of like, no, there is no God, no one exists, whatever. So this is the first time where I was like, you know what? God, angels, universe, whoever's up there, can you please show me a sign? Like, I'm going insane. Like, I'm for sure going insane. Can you please show me a sign that I'm not crazy? Can you show me a sign that I made the right decisions? And I will never forget this. I was like, show me 1111. And 1111 had no meaning to me at the time. It was just a number that popped into my head because my best friend growing up would always say 1111, 1111, make a wish. And I'm like, cool. I don't know what that means. Sure, I'll make a wish. And so I'm like, show me 1111. And I went to the kitchen to grab some water before meeting with this best friend before flying back up to Washington. And I look at the microwave and the microwave says 1111. And ever since then, ever since I made those decisions, I would see 1111 every single day, like twice a day. It was, and then of course, all the other angel numbers followed. And it was just like all these synchronicities just started to happen. And I would like to say that my life was like amazing after I made those decisions, but it definitely got way worse before it got better. When I finally moved to LA, I had nowhere to live because I couldn't afford Los Angeles rent. And my business that I thought would be the business no longer brought me joy. And because it no longer brought me joy, and I'm a generator by human design, like the thing that I need to do needs to bring me joy or it's not going to be very successful, started to dwindle. And all of a sudden I had something like $100 in my bank account for my move. And I was like, this is nothing. Like, that's really scary. And I had $25,000 worth of debt. I had planned to move in with my father because he had a house and an extra bedroom. When I moved in with him the first 2 weeks, I felt like Cinderella. I did not belong at all in his house. It got to the point where I'm like, fuck this. I'd rather be homeless. And so I literally like got in my car, packed up my car, showed up by my grandma's house, and she only had like a couch for me. And I was like, grandma, can I please live here until I figure out my life? And those moments were incredibly stressful for me because all of a sudden this path of medical school, I just erased, like the path just erased behind me. It's no longer there. And this business that I thought was this thing for me for the rest of my life, like my life purpose, right? This is my new life purpose. All of a sudden is no longer bringing me joy. I don't have money. I'm living on my grandma's couch. I just went from being an entrepreneur to like being broke to then having to get a 9-to-5 job. And thankfully, my mom's best friend was hiring at the time. And so I got a job as an office receptionist, $15 an hour. And I will never forget being on my grandma's couch and just being like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, what am I doing with my life? God, are you there? Like, can you please assist me? And that is when I really, Sahara, dove deep into the work that I do today. That's when I realized I got money blocks. I got money mindset problems. I got limiting beliefs. There's this thing called the subconscious mind. Like, that's when everything just started to align for me in terms of the books that I would find, the teachers that I would find, the right YouTube videos and all this stuff. And I'll never forget like being on my grandma's couch and in this moment of despair. I think it was like one of the first nights I was scrolling on Instagram and I scrolled by, of course, a Tony Robbins quote, which is so ironic because Tony Robbins, from an outside perspective, you could look at it and be like, oh, Catherine, that event basically ruined your life, right? Like, you made all these decisions and it basically led you to this place that's way worse off than where you were before. But that quote that I read, it was, live as though your prayers are already answered. And that just sparked something within me that is still my affirmation to this day, where I all of a sudden had this thought. I like downloaded this thought of like, wait a second, what if I lived my life as if my success was inevitable? What if I lived my life as if the law of attraction was 100% real? What if I dispelled all disbelief and just for a year of my life, I decided to give it a year. Just for the next year of my life, I truly embody the version of myself that's already successful. What if I created a vision for myself? And that's what I did. I opened up my journal and I wrote out my life exactly how I wanted it to look, with the husband and the penthouse apartment and the travel and the everything and the business that I wanted. And at this time, I had no idea what I really wanted to do, but I was like leaning more and more into this fascination that I had with manifesting. And so I was like, what if I actually prove to myself that manifesting works? And from that place, I created Manifestation Bay, which started as an Instagram account, which just started as a bunch of quotes and stories that I would share based on how I'm applying the law of attraction to my life. And I made this agreement with myself. I call it the one-year experiment, where I made an agreement with myself where for the next year of my life, I will live my life as if my success is inevitable. And I will do all the things. I'll believe all the things. I will show up. I will act as if I'll do everything that I've ever learned, and I'll actually put it into action and embody it. And if it doesn't work, then I never, ever, ever have to trust this pipe dream ever again. I never have to read another damn book about it. I'll never listen to another podcast. I'll never, like, it's done. It doesn't work. I'll prove it to myself. But what if the experiment does work? And what if this thing actually does work? Well, then I will just keep playing the game for the rest of my life. And I had to come to grips with, like, wait a second. And I love that you mentioned this in your book, like asking yourself, what's the worst thing that can happen? And I realized that I was already living my worst case scenario. I was on my grandma's couch, like jobless, no money. Like, it was already pretty much the worst case scenario. I knew that I always had my grandma's couch, and I feel so lucky to have her. And I know that that's very lucky of me, because people don't even have their family, right, to rely on, and don't have someone else's couch to live on. And so I'm very grateful for that. And it's such a huge part of my story because it made me who I am. And that's basically what I did. And through this 1 year experiment, you know, I just put a lot of faith into it. And as I went on, you know, my life started shifting. I started manifesting money and opportunities. And all of a sudden people started asking me, hey, Catherine, how'd you do that? Can you coach me? Do you have a course? Do you have this? Do you have that? I would start to just create, and like all of this energy would just pour out of me of just like, I have to tell people how I did it, because I went from this place of despair to being very fulfilled, even though it wasn't like my dream life yet. But I was proving to myself, like, wait a second, if I just keep this up, what is my life going to look like in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years? This is amazing. And so, long story short, I took Manifestation Babe. It was born in 2016. It made like $9,000 in that whole year. And through this 1 year experiment, which is like the thing that I still do if I want a quantum leap, I had this entire quantum leap where the next year I made $600,000. And going from $9,000 and being a receptionist for $15 an hour, you know, as well as making $9,000 in your business, which is like no money at all in Los Angeles. But like going from that to $600,000, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? The sky is limitless. Like, it's not even the limit. There is no limit. This is incredible. And every single year from that point on, I just kept expanding and I kept sharing more. And of course, my journey evolved, but Manifestation became like a multi-million dollar brand, now on pace to being an 8-figure brand. And it's just like, it's been such a wild journey. And I'm so, so grateful to be on this journey. Like, it's been crazy.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing all that and so many parallels. I was like, I feel like we were on our grandma's couches like at the same time in LA.
Seriously.
What years were you there?
2016.
Okay. Mine was a little before. It was like 2014, but so interesting. And also being first generation immigrant and that responsibility and wanting to make your parents happy. And also your mom probably thinking, okay, doctor is like the most safe job out there. So I want my daughter to be safe. So I'm going to, you know, keep telling her to do this thing, because manifestation expert wasn't really a thing out there, especially no. In the Ukraine and in the Soviet Union, you know? So, and it's so fascinating to just see how quickly it changed for you, $9,000 to $600,000. And now being in at the end of 2020, that's like 4 years ago. You know, so how do you think it shifted for you so quickly?
Yeah. You know, there's this thing I teach called like timeline jumping or collapsing the timeline. It's like a quantum physics terminology, but it's really what I did without knowing that I did it. And now that I'm like aware of it, that's literally, there's this 3-step process. And it's kind of like I look at it as phases, because you can go back and forth in between them. And really within the phases, there's a lot that can happen. There's a lot that's going on. But when I look back on everything that I've ever manifested, and no matter what the speed was, whether it took like 2 seconds or it took 10 years, like no matter what it was always the same process. And the faster that I could embody phase two, the faster it would happen. So my phases are, or my steps are, is number one is decide on what you want. So clearly, like a GPS system, if we don't know where we're going, the GPS is just not going to lead us anywhere. It's either not going to work properly, or it's going to lead us to some random destination. So we always have to know where we're going. Now, a lot of people get stuck in like, well, I don't know specifically what it's supposed to look like. And I don't know if you know about like human design, like there's specific manifestors and non-specific manifestors. So I'm a non-specific manifestor, which means that the details stress me the F out. And the more I go into details of what I want it to look like, the more resistance I create towards that thing. Versus specific manifestors, they thrive off of that specificity. They want to paint the dream home. They want to pick every color of everything and what the floors are going to look like and all this stuff. And for non-specific manifestors, it's really about embodying a feeling. Now, feelings are part of the process no matter what, but for non-specific, it's really like embodying that feeling of how that thing is going to make you feel. But regardless, you're still creating a vision. So step one is creating that vision. Exactly what do you want your life to look like? And that's what I do. You know, you can do this in your journal. You can do this in a meditation practice. You can do this by voicing this out, you know, talking it out with someone, building a vision board. Like there's so many different tools that you can use to do this. For me at that time, I really enjoyed journaling. I don't journal as much anymore unless I like really have to and it's like something coming through me. But I wrote out exactly what I wanted, like as if I was the main character of my life 5 years into the future and like where I'm waking up and who I'm waking up next and how I'm feeling and what I'm doing for work and how much money I'm making and what am I doing with the money. And I'm just really giving this future a purpose. I'm really anchoring in this, like all of the incredible things that are going to happen when I choose this reality. So it's really about choosing the reality. And then phase two is very much in line with like embodiment, because you talk a lot about embodiment. So it's embodying the version of you that already has that reality. So it's coming from this, you know, this theory, because, you know, science has such a hard time proving spirituality. And I know Deepak Chopra is really good at it, but still it's like science is still very limited because spirituality is so expansive. There's so much that we cannot explain. But according to quantum physics, you know, there's like the holographic universe and there's the multiverse and how there are parallel timelines that are existing right now, all at the same time. And the way I like to look at it is, for instance, right now, there's a version of myself out there on a parallel timeline, a parallel life that chose to go to medical school. Right now, there's a version of myself that's out there that chose to stay with that boyfriend. There's a version of myself that chose to never start manifestation, babe. There's all these different versions and there's all these different consequences of it, as well as benefits and all these different examples of what it looks like. And there's no right or wrong here. It's just the way I like to look at it is, what is your current reality and what is your desired reality? Right? There's no right or wrong. It's not like one is better than another. It's just, what do you want? And so I pick the timeline that I desire, which is based off of my vision. And I ask myself, who is that version of me who's already living that reality? And I like to break this down. I call it my blueprint. And how I break it down is I'm like, okay, what is her self-talk like? What are her beliefs? Who does she hang around with? What kind of content does she consume? What kind of content does she create? How does she show up? Does she meditate every day? Does she communicate with ancestors? Is she doing plant medicine? Like there's so many directions that you can take this in, but the more detail that you can get with this process, then the next step is really just to do the embodiment. It's to take the action as it feels in alignment and as it feels inspired and as it shows up. Because a lot of people want to know, they're like, I want to know every single step of how I'm going to get there. They want to see the whole road before they embark on the road, right? You have to understand that just like life right now is unfolding one step at a time, it's unfolding 1 second at a time, 1 minute at a time. Your path to your manifestation, to your desired reality is going to unfold one step at a time. And it's not always going to be clear which direction you need to go in until you get to that place where it's asking you, do you want to go left or do you want to go right? Then it's imperative for you to follow your intuition, because your intuition is your like hotline to your higher self. It's your hotline to the divine. It's your hotline to the universe. And so it's constantly telling you, if you just listen, if you just calm the fuck down and listen, maybe meditate, maybe do some breath work or something and really access that part of you, it's always saying like, hey, go this way, or hey, go that way. And then all that you're doing is you're embodying this energy on an energetic level, on a physical level, on an emotional level, on the mental level, this version of yourself, and you are literally acting as if. But I don't really like to use acting as if sometimes, because a lot of people see it as like fake it till you make it. I don't believe in fake it till you make it. I believe in faith it till you make it. So it's having faith in your path. It's having faith, and this is the direction that you want to go in, and having faith that the universe is literally guiding you every single step of the way to get there. And the faster you can embody that version of yourself, the faster you can embody phase two, the faster your manifestation is going to happen. Because what a lot of people don't realize, and they don't think to this level sometimes, they get stuck in like worrying about the timeline and worrying if they're doing it right and worrying if it's going to happen and worrying if it's a possibility for them. But if you think about it, the version of yourself that's already living that reality, are they worried? No. Are they even questioning if they're going to get there? No. Do they have certainty that they're going to get there? Yes, because they are already there, right? So it's really thinking and accessing and embodying that version of you that's already there. And then the faster you can do that now and have that certainty, it's all about certainty. The faster you have that certainty, the faster you're going to get there, because time really is an illusion. And yes, there's elements to it like divine timing. And the way I see divine timing is there's certain lessons that we need to learn in order for us to be ready to receive what we want to receive. Like the best example I can give is, for instance, if I was 18 years old and you just handed me $10 million at the level that I was at back then and the mindset that I had back then, like I would freak out if I had $10 million. I wouldn't know what to do with it. That's why a lot of lottery winners, they go broke, is because they don't have the acquired wisdom through all of the lessons that they learned in order to manifest that money. It just happens so quickly that all of a sudden it's like they're not in vibrational alignment with that money because they didn't get into vibrational alignment with that money. So all of a sudden they stay in the vibration that they're at, which means no money. And so they end up losing that money. And so there's a lot that I had to learn. There's a lot of lessons and sometimes challenges and obstacles. They look like, you know, signs to give up. A lot of people are like, is this a sign to give up? No, there's no such thing as a sign to give up. It's always something that you just need to overcome, because once you overcome that, you're going to be ready to receive whatever it is that you're manifesting into your life.
I mean, so many, like, we're on the same download, but it's beautiful because it's like a different languaging and way of looking at really these same universal laws. And that's how we know it to be true, because we're like living it and sharing. And I think a lot of, like, one of the things that I hear the most about is, well, it's easy to make a lot of money if you're talking about manifestation. So what do you have to say when people feel like, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to make it if I'm talking about trauma or something heavier that people aren't running to?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because I see that pop up a lot. And the thing that I used to share with my clients when I had one-on-one clients is like, whatever you want to do, just go out there on freaking Google and Google people who are doing that thing without doing the thing that you think that you need to do to get there. So for instance, like, look at the people who are manifesting money who are not manifestation teachers. Cause I know that's like a big block for people being like, oh, I only see the coaches and the people who teach business have successful businesses, and the people who teach money mindset are the ones who have the most amount of money. Like, first of all, there's this thing called the reticular activating system in our brain, which is basically the part of our brain that's there to recognize patterns based off of what we're focusing on. And so I find, and here's the best example I can give you, like when I was in the fitness industry, all I ever found were other people in the fitness industry. All my brain would ever pick up is like anything to do with fitness, anything to do with, you know, in the MLM space, like Beachbody. And I would only find other Beachbody coaches. I would only find Beachbody programs or competitors of Beachbody programs. It's like my whole world was that. And then when I transitioned out of that and I came into the realm of manifestation, guess what my brain did? Now I only see the manifestation teachers. Now I only see the entrepreneurs. Now I only see the spiritual teachers, but that doesn't mean that those are the only people that exist, right? So you have to understand that sometimes your brain is working both for you and against you. So you kind of have to recognize that, wait a second, this is awesome because you can use the reticular activating system for manifestation, because it proves to you that what you focus on literally comes into your reality. But you also have to understand that, like, if you keep focusing on like that only these type of people can make this money, or only teachers of business can have successful businesses, then guess what? That's all you're going to find. And so then you're going to convince yourself that, wait a second, it's only possible for these people, or I have to do these things. Like, it's very important for you to kind of step back from that and ask yourself, is it really true that these are the only people that are capable of making a lot of money? No, that's not the full truth. There's other possibilities. There's other people. And now that you took that step away and you recognize that and gain awareness of that, you're creating this field for your reticular activating system to now pick up on more people or doing different things. And all of a sudden you see different people doing different things who are all successful, happy, fulfilled, whatever it is that you want to bring into your life, whatever you want to feel.
Totally. And I think it all, you know, it relates back to Dharma. If that's not your Dharma, it's not going to work for you. Like I see a lot of people, they try to, you know, replicate something that they already saw work before. So they, you know, reshare that same content. Maybe they change around the wording a little bit and they're like, well, if it worked for Catherine, worked for Sahara, it worked for this person, then it must be proven to work. And then it doesn't because it's not their Dharma and people can feel that it's not in alignment. Like for example, you know, I used to share more about abundance stuff a little bit a couple of years ago, but I was like, this is not my space.
Yeah.
Like I just knew that in myself, it's not my space and I'm still able to live an abundant life, but I don't teach about abundance. So I think we're just exactly like you said, we assume everyone must be exactly like me because that's who's in your tunnel of people that you're following. But there's like many epic interior designers out there who are extremely abundant or like personal gardeners or like Etsy shops or all of these different things. And it's also, I think that oftentimes business coaches share how much money they made. So people are like, oh, the only time I've even heard of someone making that much money was this person who shared about it. But those other people just like, do you think RuPaul is talking about how much money he made? But I guarantee you he's making a lot more than most coaches out there, you know, but he's just not talking about it.
That is so, so true. I really love that you brought up the Dharma thing because even though I know, like, for instance, I had my academy, Rich Babe Academy, and that served me for such a long time, but I realized that I'm here to teach more than just money, although I will always teach about money and abundance. But I recognize a very similar thing for me where I think it came from like the earlier stages of my career where I was around a lot of other money mindset teachers. And I was like, oh, this is the key, right? This is the thing that people want. And yes, it's the thing that people want, but whatever you're here meant to teach, whatever you're here to embody is going to be way more successful than the thing that you think is going to make you successful. So I really love that you brought that up.
Yes. And it reminds us again to trust the wisdom that's coming through us. And that's really the only way you're going to really land in people's hearts if they can feel that it's in alignment.
Yeah. Oh my God. So true. So true.
Yes.
We'll take a quick break so I can give a shout out to our sponsors. Are you that person that all your friends and family members come to when they need wellness advice? Are you constantly looking up new ways to heal and balance your mind, body, and spirit, including listening to this podcast? Well, have you ever considered having a career becoming a holistic health coach where you get to decide your own hours, work with people, tackling the subjects that you are the most passionate about, and having financial freedom along the way? Well, I'm so excited to be teaming up with my very own alma mater, Institute for Integrative Nutrition, to offer their biggest discount yet. You'll receive $2,250 off tuition, an extra bonus that they're offering just with my Highest Self podcast listeners on how to launch your dream book. This course is going to get you super clear on what your book is about and how to bring it out into the world. I've created a webinar for you on how to have a thriving business as a health coach. So using social media, creating passive income, how to have a wait list of clients and become the best known coach in your niche with raving testimonials. Tickets to a live upcoming IIN conference where I will be meeting you over there. Super excited to connect. And a bundle of all digital wellness guides like Ayurveda, self-love, whole food eating, etc. So all you have to do is head over to my show notes. You'll see the link over there. It's a little bit.ly link. It'll take you right there. You'll be able to receive a sample class, check out the curriculum, get all your questions answered. And I'm so excited to have you on this mission, raising the vibration of the planet together as a health coach. Again, head over to my show notes. You'll see the link right there, and I'll see you inside. Are you ready to make this the year you step into your Dharma and embody your fullest expression? Are you calling in a reclamation of your energy and sovereignty so you can stop being distracted by the noise around you and make a true difference in the world? Do you know deep down inside that your highest form of joy is also your highest form of service, but needs support on where to start? Well, then you will love my Green Taurus Circle, which is this month's goddess in Rose Gold Goddesses, my sacred sisterhood collective all about embodying the goddess within. Green Tara is the goddess of compassion in action. She is all about aligning with your sacred doing. We know what this year feels like, not being able to truly take action towards what matters to us, for feeling overwhelmed by what's happening in the world and really disconnected from our divine feminine essence. So this year is all about reclaiming that energy so you can live a life that is true to your soul. So you can look back on this year and see that not only was it your most joyful, but you were actually able to help the most people in the way that only you can. So if you are calling in more compassionate action, more sisterly support, more divine feminine knowing, then come join us in this green Tarot circle. You can find all the information on rosegoldgoddesses.com/greentara. The link is in the show notes, and it's also included in your membership of Rose Gold Goddesses, which you can also find at rosegoldgoddesses.com. So now that you have learned so much about manifestation, what were kind of maybe like the mistakes that you made at the beginning that you now looking back on it, you're like, oh, I guess I like misunderstood that.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a big one that I, you know, every time I do, so I have this like fun ritual that every time I travel and go on an airplane, I always open up a Q&A, and like, that's what I do on the whole, that's how I pass the time on planes. Like I connect to the Wi-Fi, I answer people's questions. It's so much fun. And every time I'll see like these very basic law of attraction questions. And I'm always like, wait a second, I thought we're past this, but I keep forgetting that new people keep following me. And so I love, you know, always answering these questions because I want to remind people that the basic information that they might have right now could be working against them. And that's something that I had to learn the hard way through my own experience. Like for instance, with law of attraction, a lot that is taught is like, you only can have positive thoughts. Well, we don't manifest from our thoughts. We manifest from our subconscious mind. We manifest from our subconscious beliefs. So I have, and believe it or not, people, I got negative thoughts for days, every single day. Like I am not perfect. I have my bad days. I have emotions. I have negative emotions. I feel anger. I feel sadness. I feel jealousy. I feel all these things that we're so ashamed of feeling, thinking that we're going to create a negative reality. But what it really comes down to is it's your dominant vibration that's creating your reality. It's like who you are at the center. And who you are at the center could be in a much more elevated vibration if you learn that the only way to let go of negative emotions and thoughts is by actually continuing to think them, to feel them through, to process them so that you can let them go. And the way to raise your vibration a lot of the times is for you to finally release all of those negative emotions that you keep suppressing because you're taught that you cannot feel them if you want to create a quote unquote positive reality. This is like the basis of toxic positivity, right? So what I learned in my childhood that worked against me is that I don't receive any praise whatsoever, any love for being sad, being upset. Like, unless I am happy as can be, like, I receive no love for anything else. And so I learned that it was not okay to feel emotions. So I would always constantly suppress everything that I truly wanted to feel and cover it up with a smile until I grew up to be an adult who kept having a lot of anxiety and a lot of panic attacks. And what anxiety is sometimes is there's things that are trying to come up to the surface. And a lot of the anxiety oftentimes is just the resistance of the things that are trying to come up to the surface. So if you just allow yourself to feel and take off that damn lid and let it just the steam rise and exit your energetic field, you're going to feel so much better and the anxiety will just dissipate. And a panic attack is like a level of anxiety that's so intense because you keep forcing and stuffing that lid to such a degree where it's like steam is like ready to explode and all of a sudden it has to explode. And so what I learned on my manifestation journey is to have practices to feel. And that if I have negative thoughts or negative beliefs come up, or like really this is like shadow work, right? If I have things that I feel ashamed about or things that I'm not ready to face or feel like if by facing them, I am going against, you know, the law of attraction, right? Like attracts like, positive attracts positive. I learned to do breath work to help me release emotions. I learned to cry. I learned to feel. And the more that I feel and the more that I release, the higher of a vibration that I embody and the lighter that I am and the freer I feel. And we are actually constantly constantly attracting everything that we want into our lives, but we're blocking it by the resistance that we're creating by not allowing ourselves to release things from our energetic field. So oftentimes in spirituality, we hear like, just raise your vibration. And so we feel like we need to do things and add things on to raise our vibration, when it's actually a lot of letting go. It's a lot of releasing, because who we are at our core, our truest self, is already a creator. It's already a master manifester. And it's all of these beliefs and thoughts and emotions and things that tell us we can't be that unless we do something, or unless we add something into our lives that's preventing us from creating what we really want. And so by having practices to release that crap, like I know you do shamanic shaking and you do dancing, and like I really love breath work. I really love just sometimes sitting on the couch and crying. Like that's a spiritual practice to me, you know? And like doing whatever I need to do, move my body, just run, just scream, have like a rage ritual and start, you know, hitting the pillows on my bed and punching them and whatever I have to do to release, I find that I am not only a happier person, but I am so much less resistant to receiving the things that I truly want to receive. So I would say like that's the biggest mistake that I see people make.
I love that so much. I went to an Abraham Hicks conference once and I found it really like amazing. And so much of the stuff I was like, I could just feel that there was a lot of space, like the people in the crowd, it felt like a lot of space between where they were and what they wanted. And yeah. It was like this like yearning of like, I mean, it was in LA. So basically everyone wanted to be a famous actor. So it's like yeah. Question after question, you know, I've been trying to do all the things and raise my vibration. I'm still haven't been casted for any movies. And it was like, you don't believe in it enough. And I was like, well, there's also this element of action, right? Like,
yes.
Like, are you like, trying different roles? Are you showing up, or are you just like kind of like waiting to receive? And I feel like sometimes we use these like spiritual tools to like kind of take
avoid the action.
Out. Exactly. And kind of spiritualize like, okay, I'm just going to like wait for it to happen. If it's meant to be, it will happen for me. And it's like, no, bitch, like a casting agent's not going to be like, hey, you on your couch, like you've been casted to be the new star next to Tom Hanks. You've never showed up for the audition, but we noticed you're watching a lot of Abraham Hicks on YouTube. So you are worthy. Like that is not going to happen.
I love that you brought that up. First of all, I also went to Abraham Hicks in LA. Like when did you go? Maybe we went to the same.
Like 2 years ago, I want to say.
I think mine was like 3 years ago or yeah, like four. Yeah. Somewhere around there. But anyway, a lot of what Abraham Hicks teaches like has a lot of truth in it, but it keeps it very much in the mental space, like the mental realm. And so how I see it is like manifestation is taking action. Like there's a law of action. You can't get around it. It's one of the laws of manifestation, law of action. It goes hand in hand with the law of attraction. But what most people do is they take mental action, or they take emotional action, or they take spiritual action. So I did the meditating and I did the vision boards and I did the feeling as if and whatever, but it's still not happening. Well, remember, you're drawing things, you're pulling things out of the energetic field and bringing them into the physical field. Keyword, physical field. What kind of action do you need to take in order to bring something from the energetic into the physical? Oh, physical action. Like there is action that you need to take in the 3D. And the example that I always use is like, you want a successful business, but at some point you have to open up your laptop and make a website. You have to push live and like talk to the people. You have to make a post. Like there's stuff that you need to do. And oftentimes people get stuck in like, oh, I got to hustle and a grind and work hard. Like, no. The kind of action that I'm talking about is the kind of action where maybe from the outside perspective, like, I don't know about you, but I know you share this in your book, like you can work for like 14 hours straight on your book every single day and like write. And like, you just don't even feel like you're working. You just get so lost in it. To an outside person, they're like, oh, Sahara's hustling. Like, look how hard she's working. She's preaching alignment, but really she's not in alignment because she's working so hard. No. It's not what you do. It's the energy that you do it in. And so physical action can sometimes look like a lot, like, oh, you know, I'm working 16-hour days. And I remember at the start of my business, I was working like 18-hour days, not sleeping very much because I was going to work 9 to 6. And then I, you know, I was building my business, watching courses, like, how do I build the business? How do I build a website? How do I do this? Like all this stuff, like, how do I make a course? How do I string it together? How do I attach a payment processor to it? And all these things. I was like working my ass off, but the energy that I was doing it in was very much like, this is so much fun. And every single thing that I did felt like the next logical step. And it felt like the next thing that's like, duh, this is my next step. Oh, duh, that's my next step. Oh, duh, oh, duh. And then all of a sudden, I built a business. Like all of a sudden at the end of it, here I am living my dream life and continuing on and continuing to manifest, you know, more desired realities. That's like, that's the big piece that I also think The Secret left out is action. And I rewatched it a couple times after realizing like, wait a second, it's very much in the mental, it's very much in the emotional, the energetic, the spiritual, but there's not very much of the physical action. And I remember, I think there's like one person, I don't remember who it was. There was like one speaker that said, yeah, you got to take aligned action or something like that. And then no one else mentioned it. And then it left a lot of people in the dark being like, I don't get it. It doesn't work, you know? And of course it doesn't work because you left out a very important piece of it.
I love that. And I think it's important to have that like balance of, you know, someone could say, oh, so you're basically just taking action. Then that's what manifestation is. And it's like, no, it's getting clear first on what path you want to go into. If you don't have those other layers, then you're just stuck on the hamster wheel, which most people are, of just taking action, like combat energy. So you need the spiritual, you need to handle the emotional, you need to balance the mental, and then have that physical step be really like thought out, deliberate. So you're not just like stepping and then like, you know, 10 years later, like, wait, I've been walking this whole time and I'm still not going anywhere. And I feel like what your story really shows us is how fast you can go when you're in that aligned action. You know, like I had a friend, she was over and she's like, I don't get it. Like I'm 40. Like I've been doing this for 20 years. Like why is everyone more successful than me? I'm like, how have you been focusing your time? It's not about, I've been doing this for 20 years. Now I get the 10-year, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, especially, it's like 1 year can change more in your life than 50, than a lifetime. Yeah. And that's really up to how you're taking that action. And it's just as magical as it is like pragmatic, but we have to have our hands in both.
Yeah. It's like you mentioned, you know, on my episode, like you have to, or maybe you mentioned this in the book, but I remember you saying like, you have to both have like a foot in the 3D and the 5D to understand how to bridge the two together and how to help people cross over and also how to cross over yourself. Like you can't just like be only in the 3D or only in the 5D. This is what gets a lot of people that I share with my students. It's like, listen up, people. You incarnated here. You chose to incarnate here as a human being. Okay. Like if this wasn't about experiencing all of the vast parts of being a human being, you would not be here. And I think that oftentimes the law of attraction, manifestation world really forgets this part about being a human, like the part about embodiment, the part about being here and feeling all the things and experiencing the things and learning from the things to just, nope, you know, love and light. There's no such thing as darkness. There's no such thing as evil. There's no such thing as shadow. Nope. I'm just going to focus on this instead. And they, you know, like, what's the point of being here then? Like, what's the point of being a light worker, or as you call it, a sun being, if you're not here to shine a light on the darkness and you're here to experience both light and dark. And I call that polarity brings clarity. When you have polarity and when can you see opposites and experience and have different experiences in life, all of a sudden you can only get clearer and clearer on what it is that you do want to create. It's only when you experience darkness do you know that, hey, I also want the light. Or when you experience poverty that you're like, oh, I want money, right? You can only learn from having that contrast or polarity. And that's what really brings a lot of people clarity. And if you resist so much having those experiences of polarity or contrast, then you're not going to really even know what you actually want. And a lot of what we want comes from, if you look at it, what we also don't want. The problem is that a lot of people get stuck in, I don't want this thinking. Like at some point you have to evolve it to like, okay, so what's the opposite? If you don't want this, if you don't want to be broke, then what do you want? Oh, I want to be rich. Cool. So let's start focusing on that. So I think it's another very important element as well.
So what if you are trying to manifest something, but maybe it's not something you're ready for, or it's not in your highest alignment? Like you shared, for example, that, you know, you were wanting to grow on Instagram, but then seeing that maybe you weren't even emotionally ready for the amount of like, you know, trolls and hate and all the bullshit that one gets when they get a huge audience like that. So what do you say for someone who's like, maybe not even sure if they should be manifesting that thing?
Yeah. You know, it's such an interesting question because I believe that like what is desired by you is destined for you. And I think that as long as it's a heart's desire, which the way I define it is like an ego desire is like coming out of wanting to take away from someone else or like wanting to impress someone or wanting to please your parents. Like if you have desires that come out of like wanting to please someone else or like very focused on outward things or someone else. And that's typically your ego trying to manifest something so that you have some sort of result that you think that you want. But a heart's desire is something that like you can't stop thinking about it. It's just on your heart. You can't stop thinking about it. You can't stop dreaming about it. It's something that you really want. And even if it doesn't make sense, like even if it's not something as grand as like, I want to save the world or I want to, you know, cure cancer or whatever, like I just want a G-Wagon. Like for some people, they just want a dream home or I just want the husband. Like that can still be a heart's desire for sure. And what is desired by you is destined for you. So sometimes when things aren't happening, it's just a, you know, it's the element of like, as I mentioned before, you know, the divine timing of like, there could be a lesson that you haven't yet learned and will learn. There's a lesson that's put on your path that's going to teach you something that's going to be a breakthrough moment that's going to allow you to appreciate the desire so much more when you actually have it. So the example that I know you want me to go into is like with ayahuasca. When I did ayahuasca last year, my very first ceremony, I had my iPhone like pop up, like in my vision, like my iPhone just pops up in front of me and ayahuasca starts scrolling through my Instagram. And I immediately remember being like, don't tell me to delete my Instagram. Because sometimes, I don't know, sometimes she says things like that. And they are for your highest good, even if you don't want to admit it at that point, or like you don't feel that way because your ego is like trying to resist that. And she's like, no, we're not deleting your Instagram, but we're going to do some review. And so she would show me like, hey, Catherine, you wrote this post because you wanted people to like you. And you wrote this post because you wanted to avoid someone not liking you. Like you said this because you were afraid that someone's going to hate you for saying the opposite of what you actually wanted to say. Or you said this because of whatever. And it was just like the most eye-opening shit I've ever experienced. And she showed me like two different timelines. And she said, this is where your following is currently at. And as I was sharing with you earlier, like it was at a plateau. It was like great following. I was like, I think I just hit 100,000 followers, but I was stuck at 100,000 for like months and months and months and months and months and just not moving at all. When I experienced my entire career of having my Instagram, like my Instagram is growing. It's consistent. You know, sometimes it's growing faster than others, but it was just stuck. And I couldn't figure out why. And she was like, listen, it's because you cannot handle the criticism. You cannot handle the negative comments. You cannot handle the hate at this level. So what makes you think? And she showed me like another timeline. She's like, this is where you're supposed to be. And it was like 682,000. She's like, you're supposed to be here, but why do you think you're not there? It's because you're going to receive six times the amount of criticism. You're going to receive six times the amount of hate, six times the amount of trolls, six times the amount of people calling you a trust fund baby or whatever it is, or saying like you're selfish for wanting more money or whatever people say to me. And I was like, oh my God, you're fucking right. And so that was just a lesson of the ages. Like I swear it was so shifting for me when I came home. Like all of a sudden, the way that I was posting, the way that I was interacting, the way that I started to share myself on social media just came from this place of, I don't give a fuck anymore. I don't give a fuck. And now when I see a negative comment, like there's some that affect me more than others, but the majority of them, they honestly make me laugh. Like it's actual, a genuine laugh that I feel. And it's coming.
It's like great teaching material. I like post them. I'm like, here, we can see what happens when someone's not aligned with their dharma and they're projecting. And
exactly. That's how I see it now. And it's like so much fun. And all of a sudden I doubled my following. I'm about to cross over 200,000 in this year because I learned that lesson. And so oftentimes there could be something that is like subconsciously just limiting you that you don't know is there until you have a certain experience. Now I'm not telling everyone to go do plant medicine. It's not for everyone. In fact, be very careful, people, when you do plant medicine, because it matters who you do it with, where you do it, your intention and all that stuff. Like you really have to enter it with a lot of respect. There's other ways, you know, that you can do your work without plant medicine, but like you'll have some other experience. You'll have like a breaking point. Like I know, Sahara, you reached many breaking points in your career and like finding your dharma. And I reached many breaking points. And in those breaking points, in those low moments of like, why the fuck is it not happening? All of a sudden, it's like your higher self comes in and just says, hey, you might want to look here, or hey, it might be because of this, it might be because of that. And all of a sudden you just see things so differently. And from that new perspective, you just timeline jumped without you even knowing that you just timeline jumped. And all of a sudden, just from that one simple shift in perspective, you're on this new timeline that finally gets you to manifest the business, the G-Wagon, the whatever it is, the $100,000 month, or you know, whatever your desires are. It's usually rooted in just something that you need to learn or something that you need to let go of.
So what do you recommend for people who are really afraid of having haters or being judged or perceived? Like, I'm sure you get tons of people saying you're so superficial. You only care about money. How can you call yourself spiritual when you're talking about money? How, yeah. Like, do you sit with that? Do you block it? What do you do when you see that?
Yeah. And, you know, different parts of my journey, it was like a different version of myself. So I did different things, but what I learned that works best for me now is to just have compassion for that person. I know it's really hard, but like that person, if you really think about it, like for instance, the people that I'm friends with that are very successful, like do they sit around leaving those comments on other people's Instagrams? No, because they're so busy doing their dharma, as you say, like they don't have time for that shit. They don't have time to leave comments. They are just so happy and fulfilled doing their own life and doing their own thing that they would never do that. So I have compassion. I'm like, wow, this person is feeling lost. This person's feeling triggered. They're feeling upset. They're feeling something, which is beautiful because hopefully out of this feeling something, they learn something out of it. I know that it's all a projection. And sometimes it's hard to see that, but you just have to like at first intellectually know it, you know, before something becomes embodied, it's first mental and intellectual. So you just have to intellectually see it as like, okay, this person's projecting at me. That's okay. And then this is the hardest part, but this is the game changer, is to just sit with it. And this is something that my friend James Wedmore taught me because I was really struggling with haters last year. And he actually told me this before I did the ayahuasca. And he said, Catherine, next time you receive a DM or a comment or something of someone, you know, saying some crap about you, just keep reading it over and over and over again and just sit with it and stare at it until you stop feeling anything. And like really let yourself feel whatever's supposed to come out of it. And at some point you're going to notice within like 5 to 10, max 15 minutes, all of a sudden you let the vibration like pass through you. You let the vibration leave you. You see that you're still safe. You're alive. You're breathing. No one killed you. Like your survival is not at stake. Like you're still here. Your business didn't burn to the ground. Like nothing bad happened. It's just a comment. It's just words written on a screen. You're okay. And all of a sudden you just don't care anymore. And then the more that you receive it and the more that you just sit with that and practice sitting with that, all of a sudden that charge just starts to go away. And a way that you can kind of, you know, fast track that is I really like EFT, tapping, emotional freedom technique. So if you know how to do that, tap through that, use the pressure points and tap on them and just like keep reading it and allow that vibration. It's going to escalate at first, but at some point it's going to slow down and it's going to leave. And all of a sudden, every time you see a similar comment, you're going to anchor in that feeling of like, I don't fucking care. I don't care. That's cool. That's them. That's not me. And then you can also tap, like for instance, another technique you could use with tapping is when you see like a very nice comment, like someone is expressing their gratitude and appreciation for your work, you could use tapping to also anchor in that feeling and remind yourself that that also exists. And there's also this beautiful experience that you can have by expressing yourself online and that there's people who do appreciate that. And that's called anchoring. You can anchor in that feeling and make it stronger. So it's about making that feeling stronger and then making the other feeling less strong. And then another thing you can do, you know, it's just about like trying different things, is just, this is more of a perspective thing. It's just recognizing that nothing anyone ever says about you, both good or bad, means anything about you. So sometimes we get very lost in the positive feedback and we rely on positive feedback and we're like, I didn't get enough positive comments today. You know, something's wrong with me. That's because we made that mean way too much about us, when even that person who is leaving a positive comment, it's actually just a reflection of what they see in themselves. So you have to recognize that nothing in this universe can be taken personally. Nothing in this universe means anything about you except for the meaning that you're giving it. So even like detaching from both the positive comments and the negative comments will allow you to just express yourself freely and know that whether people like it or people don't like it doesn't mean anything about me, which is a very powerful energy to come from.
Yes. And I think that we so live for that. We're so like, okay, I took one step. Like, what does everyone around me think? The next step, everyone around me think. And then, you know, we so focus on the negative that we, you know, really like repeat that in our minds. And we think of all of these different rebuttals that we want to say back to it. But then you read a positive, you're like, oh yeah, another day. Like, I changed your life. It's like, okay. And, you know, we become so numb to things like that, but then so focus on the criticism. And I remember being in this group and someone asked Deepak, they were like, what's one of your biggest regrets? And he said, I wish I didn't spend so much time trying to prove myself to people who never believed in me. Because he was like really trying to prove to these like, you know, hardcore, like mainstream scientific people that spirituality exists. And they would literally set up interviews with him. That would be a group of scientists who would all team up against him and then like edit it to make it look like he's like the biggest fraud or a charlatan or, you know, like such high levels of public shame that they would do for him. And he was always trying to like get back at them and prove to them that he was right. And what he was saying was not bullshit. He's like, I wish I didn't even waste that energy.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned Deepak Chopra because you know him personally. I don't, but I did meet another scientist who is pretty big in like the quantum physics world and like proving scientifically that manifestation works. His name is Nassim Haramein. Have you heard of him?
I haven't heard of him, no.
Okay, so I haven't either until, this is a story, I was in Abu Dhabi for Tony Robbins's spiritual trip. And we were like staying in this massive palace, like this massive, massive palace. So of course we got lost trying to find where the event is going to be. And at this time, like I was a platinum partner and we all like wear the same outfits. Like we're all wearing black because Tony wears black and we all like look kind of look the same. We're all like this group. And we see another person who looks like a plat, you know, also looking lost. And so we're like, okay, cool. Like finally there's another person. We can all look stupid together. Awesome. Let's go. And so as we're walking with this guy, I was like, you know, what's your name? Whatever. And I had no idea who he was. And we're like, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm a physicist. And we're like, oh, cool. Where are you a physicist? He's like, San Diego. I'm like, awesome. I'm like, I teach about the law of attraction. And I'm just like talking about myself or whatever. And then I'm asking him more questions. And then long story short, as we're getting closer, he's like, well, I hope you guys aren't too jet lagged and don't fall asleep during my presentation. And I'm like, presentation. I'm like, who the hell are you? And ended up being Nassim Haramein, which if you watch Gaia, the amount of Gaia documentaries that he's in is like ridiculous. Now when I watch him, I'm like, oh shit. Okay. That's him. And anyway, so he does this talk and whatever. And you know, if you Google him, it's like just a lot of scientists just like laughing at him. You know, he's like the laughing stock of like physics and whatever. Like they're just like, this is bullshit. And of course, everything that I hear him say, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. That's totally logical. And on our way back to our hotel room, we didn't realize that he was like, we were literally neighbors. Like we kept walking and like talking and all of a sudden we're going to the same, down the same hallways, like very far. And we ended up being neighbors. So I ended up getting to know him a little bit. And I asked him, you know, he mentioned, and it was kind of like sad, he mentioned like the hardest part about his career, like he loves what he does so much, but the hardest part is the amount of like personal attacks that he receives. Like he's like, they don't even just go after my science, they go after like my family and the way I look and this and that. And that just like really showed me that no matter what you do in life, there's going to be criticism. No matter who you decide to be, what you decide to accomplish, there's
especially if you're shifting consciousness.
Exactly. Because if you see something that not everyone sees, right? If you are seeing a paradigm that not everyone sees and you're trying to bring people to that paradigm, of course they're going to think you're crazy. It's like guaranteed. It comes with the job. Of course they're going to think you're crazy. But I love that, you know, I love that you mentioned Deepak Chopra's biggest regret is like proving people wrong. And I think that if we just take the energy that we put into proving others wrong or how we're right or how we're good or how we're this and actually put it into what we want to put it in, we're going to live a completely different life. Mm-hmm. We're going to put so much more energy into what we actually want to put in. And by the time we're off this planet, we're going to be so proud of what we've created.
I know. I think we all just tried to like convince that person who doesn't like us, like me, accept me, love me, when there's like loads of other people who already do. But a lot of times they're just silent. They're not saying anything. Like think of all the people you scroll by and you're not like I loved this post, even though you did. So sometimes just the angriest people are the loudest. That's a call to action for them. So we think that everyone must be angry at us, or everyone must think that we're a sham. But those are just, I mean, that same hater probably goes on their scroll 20 accounts a day, give their daily hate thing. Like,
so true.
They're all private profiles, posts, no profile picture. So it's like so easy for them to hate someone else who's sharing their expression and then hide behind their screen. So it's like, I would also never take advice from someone that I want nothing to be like. So you can keep it to yourself. By the way, the comments are still engagement. So thanks, kisses.
Exactly. Oh my God.
So funny, but it's funny because we all experience it. And it's one of the biggest things that hold us back. Another thing for me that was helpful was I would look at these big authors who I would look up to. I was so afraid of bad Amazon reviews. And I would read their Amazon reviews and they had tons of shitty ones and they were still so successful. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, I don't even typically go and read Amazon reviews if it wasn't for me writing a book. So here I am thinking like, that's your make or break. If you get a bad review, you are done. And it's like, the bigger you are, the more reviews you're going to have. And statistically, the more are likely to be bad as well. And when you're shifting someone's beliefs, like Nassim is, or so many people, ourselves, the visionary archetype, it's so much easier to come after you and say you're wrong than me look within and rethink my own belief system.
Truth. Yeah, I love that.
Yes, girl, I could talk to you for hours, which we have been.
Literally.
Yes, such a great Sahara Catherine day. But where can listeners connect with you, learn from you even more deeply?
Yes, so I definitely love to hang out on Instagram. You can find me at Manifestation Babe. And then my website is really much like the portal of everything. Like if you ever get lost, just go to manifestationbabe.com and you can find any of my offerings at that time, my book, my Instagram, my social, like everything you can find there. And that's manifestationbabe.com. And then I also have a podcast, which Sahara is going to be on. We just finished recording her episode before this one, which is the Manifestation Babe podcast. And you can find that basically wherever podcasts are.
Thank you so much for sharing and for being an example of what is possible for all of us.
Oh, thank you so much. I had so much fun being here. Appreciate you.
Yay.
How amazing was that conversation with Catherine? I feel like she is my sister from another life. We have so many similarities in our own journeys, and I hope it inspires you as well to know that whatever background you come from, whatever struggles you have experienced or obstacles you may still be overcoming right now at this time, it is never too late. It is never too early. It is never too much. You were born for your dharma and you were born to live a life of abundance. So I hope this episode reminds you that you can indeed manifest your reality, and it comes from taking aligned action, because truthfully, we need more conscious people empowered, able to have money to solve the problems of the world and to support businesses that are actually making a sustainable difference on this planet. So if you're feeling called to step into your Dharma this year, come join me in my 21-day Dharma discovery journey. This is my new course specifically for you out there who are wanting to take action on your Dharma, to move from confusion to clarity, and to not waste another year wondering if this job is right for you, or if you should start that business or write that book or not, and to actually know where to shift your energy towards. So I am so excited to share with you my very new course, the 21-Day Dharma Discovery Journey. You can find it over at iamsaharrose.com/dharmadiscovery. That link is in the show notes. It starts as soon as you join, and I'm so excited to have you inside. If you loved this episode, I would love to send you a free gift, which is the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type. This is a different book than Eat Feel Fresh, my first book ever, which is not released anywhere. And I am gifting it exclusively to those who leave a review of my podcast in the iTunes store. So all you got to do is head over to iTunes, where you may be listening to this podcast, and leave a review. Take a screenshot that you've left it and email it over to me at sahara@eatfeelfresh.com. Again, that's Sahara, S-A-H-A-R-A, at eatfeelfresh.com. And I will send you back the first half of my unreleased book, Eat Right for Your Mind Body Type, which goes all into Ayurveda, doshas, plant-based nutrition, body types, all of the things in a really fun and engaging way. So this is my gift to you for free for supporting the podcast. Every single review I personally read, it really helps the podcast be listened to by more people so we can raise the vibration of the planet together. And I am so grateful to have you on this journey. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode. Namaste.